blind people Jesus touched. Some blind people Jesus said, "You're healed." In this case, he made mud and put it on their eyes. Jesus doesn't always heal the same way.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, your host. I'm here in Chicago with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, this new series we're in, Christ Said I Am. What a powerful, powerful look at what Jesus himself said about himself. And, you know, you do a whole series around this. Who does Christ say he is? I mean, why does that really matter? Does it really matter if I believe Jesus is the same person you believe he is?
At the heart of Christianity is Christ. And when we get the Christ wrong, some people say they believe in Christ, but it's not the same Christ of Scripture. I've talked to cult members who say, "Oh yeah, I believe in Christ," but when I get down to, "Well, define who was Christ," they describe a whole different Christ that wasn't in Scripture. A good prophet, a good example, a sort of a civil rights leader, a peasant that made the world a better place. But at the core, we need to understand, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you need to understand who Christ is. At the core, you need to grapple with this issue that Jesus said he was all God and all man. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He's always existed from eternity past through eternity present. He is God, the second person of the triune Godhead. If you don't wrestle with that, then you've missed what Christianity is really all about.
And Jesus makes some pretty strong claims, and he makes some pretty strong calls on people's lives. So if we don't believe he is who he says he is, it changes a lot about how we live, doesn't it?
It really does change everything about Christianity. And so we're looking in this series about what Jesus says about himself. Seven times, at least in the New Testament, Jesus said, "I am." And then he describes what he is.
Well, today's message is in John chapter 9. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world."
You don't find God. First of all, God was never lost. He was never lost. And it's not like God was up in the heavens distracted by global economy and disasters. And there you are reaching to find God and tapping God on the shoulder. "God, please help me, God." And God says, oh, you found me. No. That's not the way it works. Listen, I want you to hear me well. God is always the initiator. It's God who's reaching out to you. It's God who's calling you. When you are hard and far away, when you could care less about God, when your heart wasn't even asking the God questions, it was God that was speaking into your conscience, God that was sending people in your way, God that was speaking to your spirit, God that was sending you signs, God that was letting you go through trouble because he knew that was the only way you would pray to him. It was God that has always been reaching out to you, even when you did not even believe in God or know that he was there. God has always been the initiator. He's the one that reaches out. Listen to me, you can't even respond to God unless, first of all, he calls you. It's the tap of God on your shoulder, the speaking of God into your spirit, the placing of people around you that draws you, and you respond to the call of God. So I want you to know that God is always the initiator. He always reaches out. You're here today because God reached out to you, not because you reached out to God. Secondly, I want you to understand about how God works through, how Jesus works and how God works. Secondly, I want you to see that Jesus has insight into each person's life and story. Jesus saw this blind man, didn't even talk to this blind man, but Jesus knew that he had been blind from birth, and he knew about his parents, and he knew about his life. He said, no, it wasn't his parents that sinned. No, it wasn't he that sinned. Now, he had just met this person. Listen, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus, God has always been involved in your story. God has always known your story. He's always been involved in your story. God has known you, tracked you, and journeyed with you all of your existence. There's not a time in your life that God was not there. Now, there may be times in your life that you were not aware of God. There may be times in your life where you felt far from God. But there is not a moment or time in your history, in your life, that God was not a part of the journey. When you were born, God was there. When you celebrated your first birthday, God was there. When you were a rebellious teenager, God was there. When you were messing up and doing this and that, whatever you were doing, God was there. When you lifted your fist at God and said, I don't believe, God was there. When you denied him and tried to walk away from him, God was there. Listen, there is not a time in your story that God has not been there. So, this is really important that you understand, and I understand. If you understand that God was there always, then anytime you speak into someone's life, you ask yourself this question: how has God been working in their life? How has God already been working in their life? You know, that's how we plant campuses around Chicago. People ask us, well, how do you decide where that you're going to plant the next campus? We don't. We say, God, what are you doing? How are you working? And how can we cooperate with what you're doing? And if we feel like God takes us to a place because he gives us a building or there's people there or a door opens up, then we go there. And we ask ourselves when we go there, God, what have you been doing here? We don't show up and say, whew, thank God we're here. Finally, this place was so dark and now God is here with us. No. God has been there. God has been in your family. You say, Pastor, you don't know my family. No, I don't. Oh, if you knew my family, I don't know. I don't know if you'd say God has been there. No. I know God has been in your family, whether that you can see it or not. God is working there behind the scenes, above the scenes, below the scenes, around the scenes. Listen, God is working there. God is always there. He's always been there. He knows the history. He's part of the journey. And so we have to discover, what has God been doing? When you meet someone for the first time and they say, I don't know anything about God. I hate Christians. I hate religions. I spit on the Bible. You meet someone like that, let me tell you, I start digging because you'll discover that God has been working in their life already. Not a person on the face of this earth that God doesn't love. Not a person on the face of this earth that God is not already working some way or another in their life. So when you meet someone, start asking yourself, what has God been working? I need to figure out how God has been working and let them see that God has already been working in their life. Number three, I love this part. Breakthroughs come in many different ways, so we don't depend on people or formulas. God is not in a box. God can work however he wants to work. Notice what it says in verse 6, after Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Having said this, I love this story when I was in junior high because it involves spitting and dirt. Having said this, he spit. He what? Spit, you know. Jesus spit? Yeah, he spit on the ground. It doesn't seem real spiritual. It doesn't seem real dignified. But I love that about Jesus. He didn't do it always the same way. You see, we as people like to put formulas on Jesus. We want to say, well, it's got to be done this way. Some blind people Jesus touched. Some blind people Jesus said, you're healed. In this case, he made mud and put it on their eyes. Jesus doesn't always heal the same way. What we try to do is we try to put a formula, and then we want everybody to do it our formula way. I'm sure there's some crazy little religious group out there somewhere called the spitters and mud makers, where they probably, I haven't heard of them, but I bet you they're out there. They probably have services where they keep a little dirt and mud at the front. And then anybody wants healing, just come forth. And the pastor spits and puts mud on people. I'm sure. They're probably in the hills of Kentucky somewhere. Hey, if you're from Kentucky, no offense. I'm just saying. right beside the snake handlers and poison drinkers, probably in that area. But here's the thing, that oftentimes what happens is we like to make a formula out of how Jesus works. And I want to tell you that Jesus is not boxed by any formula. Jesus can touch people the way he wants to touch them. Heal them, change them, convert them, however he wants to. He works this way and that way and over here. There's a lot of ways that Jesus works. There is only one way to God. His name is Jesus Christ. But the way we get to God is a lot of different ways. And we need to be careful to not put our way on everybody else's way. If Jesus worked in you one way, make sure you're not making everybody else do it that way. Someone once talked about two blind men meeting each other that were formerly blind. And in today's society, they would argue about how it happened. The one blind man would say, oh yeah, man, I was blind, but now I see. Wow, you too? Yeah, me too, I was blind, and now I see. You too? Wow, high five, praise Jesus. Hey man, we're brothers. He did the same thing. So how did it feel to have mud on your eyes? Mud? I didn't ever have mud on my eyes. Yeah, you know, Jesus, the way he heals, he puts mud on your eyes, you wash it, and then you're healed. Oh no, bro, you're wrong. The way he heals is he just says, he puts his hand towards you and says, be healed. Oh, no. No, 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 no. That's not the way it works, bro. If there was no mud, then it probably wasn't Jesus. I never heard about mud before. And why would he put mud and why would he spit? And that can't be Jesus. That has to be demonic. I bet you. Oh, no, no. Oh, so we start the mud spitter healers and the hand reached out healers simply. And thus, you have the first two denominations splitting up over how Jesus heals. Listen, it was Jesus who did it. Now, God may have brought you in this way, someone else in that way. God may have saved you at the altar, someone else at the home. God works in a lot of different ways. But listen, he has one purpose, to bring people to himself so that they can be healed of body, soul, and spirit and experience the power of God in their lives. So Jesus spit. He spit on the ground. Now, why did he spit? I have my theories. Do you know it was illegal by religious standards to spit on the Sabbath? And it happened to be the Sabbath. All these religious people were watching him. Now, you know why it was illegal to spit? Because the law, the Pharisees said that if you spit, you're going to make mud. And if you make mud, well, mud is what you make bricks out of. So in essence, if you make mud on the Sabbath, you're working. So therefore, you're not allowed to spit because you could spit and make mud. It's kind of like work. You say, well, that's silly. Legalism and religion sometimes get silly when they lose the heart of Jesus. I think Jesus spit on purpose.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, I Am the Light of the World, which is from Pastor Mark's new series called CSI, Christ Said, I Am. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John, chapter 8. Tonight's Straight Talk is called, I Am the Light of the World.
The Pharisees believed it was illegal to heal on the Sabbath. Who came up with that idea? That because it's the Sabbath, you can't heal? I think Jesus was saying, listen, I will not be in a box. Watch me. Watch me make mud. And then Jesus took the mud as the Pharisees were aghast, looking at each other, saying, how could he do this? And he went up to the blind man. I was going to use a volunteer in the front row, but I'm not going to do that. You know, he'd be, oh, it's dirty, muddy, and, you know, I don't want to say later, Pastor, you scratch my eye with mud, you know, so. But he got mud, and he put it on the eyes of the blind person. And then he said to the blind person, go and wash Go and wash in Silo. Listen what he says. He says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sin. It was a pool that Hezekiah had made. Now I have mud all over my fingers. It was a pool that Hezekiah had made that was inside of the walls of Jerusalem. And I want you to see that this blind man now, it's the next point that I want to make, is that when God brings a breakthrough, it always requires a step of obedience and trust on our part. Imagine being blind and having mud on your face, and you're walking to a temple. Everybody's watching you with mud on your face. Well, that's a little embarrassing. Walking with mud on your face, the crowd is following you. It takes a degree of trust. Because sometimes when God is doing something in our life, we have to put ourselves out there. And it may be a little bit embarrassing. It may feel a little bit like I'm in the spotlight, but sometimes obedience means that. So he's walking with mud on his eyes. I'm sure he's thinking, oh, I hope this works. He gets to the waters. All the people are around him watching him. He gets in the waters of Siloam and he puts the waters up on his face. Now, if you saw and went blind, you know what color looks like because it's in your mind. But if you've always been blind, you've never seen yellow. If you've always been blind, people talk about light, but you don't know what light is. If you've always been blind, how do you describe red without using other colors to describe it? If you've always been blind, you don't even know how to describe what you're seeing. You just know words, but you've never seen it. When water came on his eyes, this man that has been born blind opens his eyes, and for the first time, he sees. He sees a friend, and he never knew his friend had green eyes. And he sees the sun, and he'd felt its heat, but never knew it was there. He sees colors and he never knew existed. Why? Hey, listen, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. What was happening to him physically is what happens to us spiritually. You know words. Oh, you've been around Christianity and you know the word grace and cross and salvation and forgiveness. And you know all those words, but you've never seen them. You don't understand them. And it's when you come to Christ and he starts taking the blindness off your eyes that those words that you've heard, those concepts that you've talked about, even Jesus himself that you think that you know and you have this image, now suddenly your eyes are open and you see in a whole different way. And now you start understanding who Jesus really is and you understand the true meaning of grace and you finally see what salvation is and you understand the power of forgiveness, because up until that time you were blind in your soul, and when God opens your spiritual eyes, suddenly you see life in full dimension and colors because you were blind, but now you see. Well, I don't know how many of you relate to that. You say, Pastor, I knew the words and I kind of heard about Jesus since I was small, but until I came to God, I never really knew. And then I started seeing for the first time the way it really was. Now let me say this. Ultimately, it's not about the hand of God. It's about him leading us to a relationship. Ultimately, the process of healing leads us to discovering who Jesus really is. In verse 35 through 38, this blind man didn't even know who Jesus was. All he knew was, I was blind and now I see. But he didn't even know who Jesus was. Listen, some of you have been touched by Jesus, but you don't really fully understand who he is and what he wants of you. It's like having a flat tire on the expressway. And a stranger stops and he helps us with the flat tire. And then when they're gone, you realize it was the Vice President of the United States. You see, you know what he did, but you didn't really know who he was. And here's the thing. Some of us have had prayers answered by Jesus Christ. Some of us have experienced things by Jesus Christ, but we've never known him. We knew what he did, but we didn't know who he was. The blind man was healed, and even when he was healed, he didn't know who Jesus was. They came and said, "Who is this man?" And he says, "I don't know. I think he's a prophet." And later on, Jesus comes to him. Look at what it says in verse 35. And Jesus heard that the man had been thrown out. Because sometimes when God brings changes in your life, other people aren't going to like it. Some people like you blind. How many of you know that when you start changing for the good, some people like you better the way you were before? That abusive boyfriend that likes you shivering in the corner with no self-esteem, you know, he wants you thinking you're nothing, dirt. When you start knowing that you're cleansed and washed and you have dignity and a name, he doesn't like it. He'd rather you feel like nothing, like a worm. When you start knowing you're somebody, he doesn't like that. You know, some of your friends, they like you the way you are. They would rather you be an alcoholic drunk every weekend, stumbling in, stumbling out, because they know how to deal with you. But when you start getting clean and sober and walking in dignity and right, when you start getting your life in order and marriage in order, and when you start thinking straight, then suddenly they don't like who they are, because when they look at you, they realize they got to change too. So they'd rather you be the old you, not the new you. Hey, some people like you negative. They would rather you be a gossip, negative, critical person, because they like to hang out in negativity and talk about everybody and everything and be negative about the world. And you get together and you have your negative party. And now you start changing and you start getting positive and upbuilding, and you don't want to gossip and you want to believe in faith. And they don't like that, because they like the old negative you, because now they got a party by themselves in negativity. Listen, some people don't want you to change. Listen, when this blind man started to change, the disciples were blinded by judgment. The Pharisees were blinded by legalism. No, he can't change. This is what not of God. He can't be healed now. His neighbors were blinded by skepticism. When they came to him, they said, "He couldn't be the blind man. We know him, but this couldn't be the same person. How could he be healed?" And his family was blinded by fear. They knew what had happened in him, but they didn't want to say it was Jesus, because they thought they'd be kicked out. Listen, there's people around you that when you change, don't necessarily want you to change. They're more comfortable with an old problem than with a new solution. They don't want the new you. So don't expect that everybody's going to celebrate the new you. Because not everybody's going to celebrate. Listen, I close with this. Jesus came to him. And he found him and he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The blind man said, "Who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. I want to be clear with you. Listen, I want your life to change. I want God to do a work in your life. I want God to touch you. I want God to move in you. I know he has power to do so. But I don't just want that. I want you to know him. Because some of you have felt his power, but you have not known him. Some of you have had answers to prayer, but you have not known him. I love what the blind man said. Earlier on in the verse, when they were questioning him about Jesus, and they said, "Well, Jesus is a sinner. It couldn't have been from God." And he said, "Well, I don't know if he's a sinner or if he's not a sinner, but one thing I know, I was blind, now I see." That is the greatest testimony you have to the world out there. I was blind, but now I see.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called CSI, Christ Said. I Am. And tonight was the second half of his message called I Am the Light of the World. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself for the evening. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful night, and God bless.